thus we see. Why don't we just follow Jesus? Well, for starters, a friend of mine ended her social media fast this week by posting on Facebook, quote, "Figured I should share my thoughts on my social media fast. Follow the prophet," close quote. A simple three-word testimony, follow the prophet. And the first response out of the gate, quote, "Or you can just follow Jesus," close quote. It sounds beautifully simple and somehow wise, but the intention of this post is to explain why that concept doesn't really fly. There are lots of reasons, but let's talk about four. Number one, been there, tried that. For almost 2,000 years after the death of Christ, people, churches, and ministers tried to follow Jesus. The result? Today we have approximately 33,000 Christian denominations scattered across the globe that claim to follow Jesus. Within those denominations, there are a bit more than 2.2 billion people, roughly 30% of the world's population. This means that there are 33,000 different official interpretations of what it means to follow Jesus, and probably billions of individual interpretations. The truth? They all can't be right. Even Jesus himself said in Matthew 7:14, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto eternal life, and few be there that find it." Not only has the freewheeling interpretation of what it means to follow Jesus caused much dissension and confusion, it has also resulted in rebellions, crusades, witch trials, inquisitions, etc. Some very barbaric deeds have been done in the name of following Jesus. In some cases, like if you needed a quickie divorce, you could just start your own church and appoint yourself the head. English history, anyone? This very confusion was the catalyst for the 14-year-old future prophet, Joseph Smith, to question how it had gotten to this point. He said in his history, quote, "My mind at times was greatly excited. The cry and tumult were so great and incessant. The Presbyterians were most decided against the Baptists and Methodists, and used all the powers of both reason and sophistry to prove their errors, or, at least, to make the people think they were in error. On the other hand, the Baptists and Methodists in their turn were equally zealous in endeavoring to establish their own tenets and disprove all others. In the midst of all this war of words and tumult of opinions, I often said to myself, what is to be done? Who of all the parties is right, or are they all wrong together? If any one of them be right, which is it, and how shall I know?" Close quote. Joseph Smith history. The vast assortment of denominations and personal viewpoints clearly illustrates that the Bible, while true, brilliant, and a gift from God, is simply inadequate to bring us a common faith and doctrine. Which brings us to the next point. Number two, Jesus employs prophets to communicate with we mere mortals, and the heavens are not closed. After Christ's death, Peter was appointed the prophet and leader of Christ's church. The idea of a prophet at the helm was not a new concept by any means. For thousands of years, Jehovah had communicated through prophets to lead and teach his people. The prophet Amos made it quite clear, quote, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets." Amos 3:7. Peter explained that the communication from God worked this way, quote, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Being a prophet is not a job anyone can apply for. All of the theological schools and seminaries in the world cannot prepare a man to be a prophet. It has never worked that way. The idea of a living prophet is hard for some to wrap their heads around, but to those of us who have a lifetime of watching, listening, and following a prophet, it makes total sense. By their fruits you shall know them. Also, if Jesus loves us, why would he leave us without continuing revelation? Why would he leave things stagnant for 2,000 years? Simple answer, he wouldn't leave us hanging, alone, and in the dark. Number three, Jesus sends the Holy Ghost to communicate with his prophets and us as individuals. No matter how often you hear it or how cool it sounds, Jesus does not attend baptisms, sacrament meetings, or help with sporting events. First, he is a resurrected, glorified celestial being. His brightness and glory would probably be noticed, if not lethal to most of us. In the Old Testament, Moses wrote that Jehovah told him, quote, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." Exodus 33:20. Which doesn't make a ton of sense, because there are times when prophets have seen him and did not die. Thankfully, one of those prophets, Joseph Smith, corrected this idea by adding this to the previous scripture. Quote, And he said unto Moses, Thou canst not see my face at this time, lest my anger be kindled against thee, and I destroy thee and thy people. For there shall no man among them see me at this time and live, for they are exceedingly sinful. And no sinful man hath at any time, neither shall there be any sinful man at any time that shall see my face and live. See the difference a modern prophet makes to our understanding of biblical texts? Obviously, I'm not qualified to see Christ and live. Those Christ visitations are either very rare or held very secret and sacred, but there's so much that needs learned and done. Instead of making personal appearances, Christ sends another member of the Godhead to assist him, the Holy Ghost. He is a spirit which allows him to touch our hearts and minds and be carried with us. As he was leaving his ancient apostles, Christ promised that he would send the Holy Ghost for several reasons. John 14:17, quote, Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And John 14:26, quote, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Even Christ taught through this scripture that what he taught was not the end, but that there would be more taught to the apostles via the Holy Ghost. And this is one of the Holy Ghost's jobs. Christ communicates to his modern prophets the same way, through the Holy Ghost. Thankfully, we can receive similar enlightenment and revelation through the Holy Ghost as individuals. The difference is that the Holy Ghost can speak to the prophet in context of the world and the entire church and its membership. When the Holy Ghost speaks to us, it is specifically for us and or the people we have responsibility over. No matter how tight I am with the Holy Ghost, he will never tell me how to run the church. This is a sure sign of a false prophet. Here's the catch. To receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, it must be done by those who have authority, which necessitates both a priesthood and a church. Because as God taught regarding the priesthood, no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Hebrews 5:4. It is clear that you can't wake up one morning and say to yourself, I think I'll start a church and start baptizing people, and expect Christ to give it his stamp of approval. It doesn't work like that. Never has. This brings us to the next point. Number 4. Christ has a church on the earth today. A church. Any honest reading of the New Testament shows that Christ organized a church, which the apostles tried to continue after his death. It worked for a while, but then slipped away, including the authority that went with it. We refer to this as the apostasy. The apostasy ended when the heavens were reopened with the calling of a new prophet. Joseph Smith, the same boy who wrestled with the contention between denominations, became that prophet. As in times of old he saw Jehovah, he also saw God the Father. He received new and important revelation in Scripture to help straighten out many of the conflicting viewpoints of Christianity that had emerged during and since the apostasy. Even more, he was given the power and authority, or priesthood, to bring back the ordinances of baptism and receiving the Holy Ghost, much as the apostles of old received on the day of Pentecost. Through the prophet Joseph Smith, we receive the light and clarity, as well as the ordinances required to actually follow Jesus in the way that Jesus condones, and a church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I admit it sounds wildly arrogant to claim that the church is the only true church on the earth endorsed by Christ and bearing his priesthood, yet there it is. To say that there is more than one makes Christ a god of confusion and in conflict with himself. This enlightenment and authority has been passed down from modern prophet to modern prophet intact and sanctioned by Jesus. Today we sustain President Russell M. Nelson as the prophet, seer, and revelator that Christ is installed to lead the church and receive revelation on behalf of the church and its membership. Back to the beginning. When I see someone say, follow the prophet, I know from experience and personal revelation that it is always a wise thing to do. If I hear someone say, follow Jesus, I'm a little muddled as to what that might mean to them, as there is no uniform answer outside Christ's church. If anyone mistakenly suggests that Latter-day Saints follow the prophet instead of following Christ, they simply don't understand the relationship between the two. If they suggest that we worship Joseph Smith or President Nelson, they truly don't understand our doctrine. That said, I am trying to follow Jesus. Thankfully, I have a prophet that I can look to help make that happen. He receives revelation and enlightenment on my behalf. He also has authority from Jesus to help me partake of the gift of the atonement to truly follow him. Without those sacred covenants, so much of following Jesus would be in vain and not recognized by the Savior. If you'd like to read my feelings about the Savior and what he's done for me, please click on my blog link, My Savior, at the top of the page.